Now, I know just a couple of weeks back, we talked about the baptism of Jesus. I'm revisiting this scripture this morning, not to talk about Jesus' baptism, but to talk about verse 11, where his father says, "You are my beloved son. I love you, and I'm pleased with you and what you've done and what you're doing." Harriet Beecher Stowe was a very successful writer. She authored her first book at the age of 12. She went to school at Litchfield Academy, and one of her assignments while she was a student there was to write an essay. She won first prize by unanimous vote of the judges, and her paper was read at the graduation ceremony by the headmaster of the school. Her paper was so good that the audience applauded it when it was read. Her father, who was pastor of a local church there, sat in that audience, it says, proudly, smiling from ear to ear. The smile of her proud father was a reward that Harriet cherished for as long as she lived. The biographer who wrote her life story said this, quote, "Neither the honors nor the success that she achieved in later life meant as much to her as her father's smile. And in effect, her career was determined that day. A father's smile, a mother's look of approval. Those are powerful things. The adult in your life when you're a child, complimenting you, saying to you, well done, I'm proud of you. Words of encouragement. The deepest need every young person, and dare I say every person, young or old, the deepest need that we have is to feel accepted, to feel loved, to feel appreciated, to feel wanted. In our lesson for today, Mark tells us that at Jesus' baptism, the voice of God said, "You are my beloved son with whom I am well pleased." What beautiful words. In Luke's gospel, when it's talking about Jesus' younger years, says he grew in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and man. I wonder if Jesus' mother, Mary, ever said to him, "You're a bad boy." I doubt it, but maybe. I'm not saying that Jesus didn't have a normal childhood. I'm sure he did. But there were some things that Mary believed about him. She knew that he was a very special child. She'd been told so. He might be mischievous at times, though. He was human. He might be a little rowdy. But I'm sure that Mary thought he could never be bad. I wish every parent could believe that about their child. We're all familiar with the term self-fulfilling prophecy, aren't we? It means that we tend to conform to the image that we have of ourselves. If we see ourselves as clumsy, we're probably going to act clumsy. If we see ourselves as intelligent, we will generally act intelligently. If we see ourselves as bad or as unacceptable or as unlovable or unworthy, then it's very likely that that's how we're going to behave. In his book called Mistreated, Ron Dunn tells about two altar boys. One was born in 1892 in Eastern Europe. The other was born 3 years later in 1895 in a small town in Illinois. They both lived very separate lives in very different parts of the world, but these two altar boys had one thing in common. They both had an almost identical experience. Each boy was given the opportunity to assist his parish priest in the Mass and in the serving of the communion. And both of them, while handling the communion cup, accidentally spilled some on the carpet in the church. Two different places, two different parts of the world. But then the similarity ends. The similarity ends by the response of the priest with who they were serving. The priest in the European church looked at the purple stain on the carpet right by the altar in this beautiful church, and he got angry, and he slapped the little boy across the face, and he said, "You clumsy oaf, leave this altar. Go now." That little boy grew up to be an atheist, and he stayed far, far away from the church. In fact, he was a strong man dictator, the dictator of Yugoslavia from 1943 to 1980. His name was Josip Broz Tito. The priest in the church in Illinois, not too far from here, looked at the spill by the altar, grabbed something to help him wipe it up, knelt down to the boy's level, looked him tenderly in the eyes and said, "It's all right, son. You'll do better next time. You're going to be a fine priest someday." That little boy grew up to become a name that I'm sure most of you are probably familiar with, Bishop Fulton J. Sheen. Bishop Sheen was very well known, had a television show, and was known far and wide from the Peoria area. These were two young boys, two similar experiences, and two very different endings. What was the difference? One felt loved. One felt he was allowed to make mistakes. One felt that he had support. The other felt just the opposite of those things. We all need to feel loved, accepted, and appreciated. This brings me to my second point. We become what others tell us we will become. Tell a child that he's a good kid. Praise him for doing good. Tell her that you're proud of her. And this doesn't just go for children, by the way. It goes for adults, too. And he or she will live up to that positive self-image. Pablo Picasso once said, "When I was a child, my mother said to me, 'If you become a soldier, you will be a general. If you become a monk, you'll end up being the Pope.' Instead, I became a painter, and I ended up being Picasso." Picasso had a wise mother. We become what people tell us that we are. If people prophesy success for us, then success is probably what we will achieve. Someday I'll tell you my life story. I know this to be true. These words are true. There was once a very lonely and a sad young man whose name was Arthur Schopenhauer. He lived in the late 1700s into the 1800s. And when he was a boy, his father died. He drowned. And his mother abandoned him. And he grew up to become a young man who was looking for an understanding of life. And once, when he thought he was alone by himself, he bent over a beautiful rose and he began looking and admiring this flower and talking to it. Well, a gardener came by and said to him very kindly, "Who are you?" Schopenhauer said, "If you could tell me that, you would be the greatest philosopher in all the world." After saying this, he realized that if he could answer the question, "Who am I?" he would also be a great philosopher. How could he discover himself, he thought? How could he realize his potentials? Well, one day he found his mother, and he went to visit her. When he got there, she was having a party, and there was a group of children there that noticed his serious, unhappy face, and they laughed at him and started to make fun of him. He was feeling hurt, and so he sort of walked away and went over to a window and gazed out the window, feeling very sad. The taunts of these kids were suddenly cut short by a strong male voice, a deep German voice that said, "Children, don't laugh at that young man. In time, he will surpass us all." Well, he turned to see who this was. It was a man named Goethe, one of the greatest geniuses of the 18th century. Those words that he said sunk in. "He will surpass us all." It had been a chance meeting, but that sad young man never forgot it. And he did gain recognition as an extraordinary philosopher. When he died, he chose to die sitting in a chair beneath the picture of the man who saw him as he could be. We all need somebody who believes in us, somebody who sees us for who we can be. We all need to feel loved. We all need to feel accepted. We all need to feel appreciated, children and adults alike. We become what others who are important to us tell us that we will become. This brings us to our final point. In order for, and I wrote children, but I put it in parentheses because I think it applies to adults too. In order for children to feel good about themselves, parents need to learn to separate their children's deeds from their worth as human beings. And that goes for adults too. It's not easy being a parent. There was a mother of three rowdy preschoolers, and she was asked if she'd have kids again, if she'd had to do it all over again. And she said, "Yep, I'd have three kids again, but it wouldn't be these three." Another mom asked the pediatrician what the best time was to put her kids to bed. And he said, "Well, you still have the strength." And boy, I can really attest to that one. It's not easy being a parent. But maybe the most difficult part of all is separating a child's actions from their value as a person. It's one thing to say, "Tommy, you've done something bad." But it's quite another to say, "Tommy, you're a bad boy." A child breaks a dish. Mom comes running with an upset look on her face. "You naughty girl," she says. "Shame on you." A few minutes later, little girl's back, hugging mommy's leg, looking up at her face. She wants to know, "Am I still loved? Did I do something that I shouldn't? I know I've done something, I did something I shouldn't have, but am I still worthy of my mother's love?" A wise parent, of course, will take that little girl in her arms and will comfort her and reassure her and talk to her about what she did. Let's take our cue from Jesus. This is what the cross is all about. Because of what Christ has done, our acceptability to him is separate from things that we do wrong. It's a good thing. Remember, our sins have all been washed away. Jesus didn't call people sinners. The woman was not an adulteress. She was a person of worth. He took time for a person who had committed an adulterous act, but whom he loved. The man who stole wasn't a thief to Jesus. He was a man who was worth his time and his love. When we say God loves the sinner but not the sin, we're talking about the truth of God's amazing love. It's a truth that we need to apply to our lives. It's a truth that we need to use when looking at other people who have done wrong. God loves them just as much as he loves you. Ooh, that's hard to swallow, isn't it? It's hard to believe that God loves that guy who I know is a drug addict and goes out and steals so he can buy drugs and abuses or neglects his kids and leaves them home alone. Loves him as much as me? Yes, he does. One last word. Some of us aren't parents. But we all have people in our lives who need their self-esteem boosted. It's our job to do that. We're not all parents, but we are all children. Some of us carry scars from our upbringing. Arthur Toscanini was an Italian conductor. He was one of the most acclaimed musicians of the 19th and early 20th century, but as a child, he never knew whether his mother loved him. She never told him she did. She never showed him that she did. And so when he grew up, he would receive applause from huge crowds everywhere he went. But he still confided in his friends and his closest people that were closest to him that he felt this gnawing emptiness, this canyon, this dark place in his soul, because he could never be sure that his success brought any approval or joy or comfort to his mother. In the book called Female Friends, Faye Weldon writes about one woman who expresses relief that her mother has died. She says she's glad she's died because that's one less pair of eyes to judge her. Mom didn't do it right, apparently, it sounds like. Maybe that's your experience. Maybe there were significant others who somehow communicated to you once upon a time that you were stupid, that you were ugly, that you were unacceptable, that you were never going to amount to anything. It happened to me. It may have happened to you. Or maybe you've let yourself down. Maybe there was a time when you did something that you have never forgiven yourself for. You're living with guilt or regret because you hurt somebody that you cared about. Now you're sorry. You know that you can't change the past, but you're trying to change the future. The past still haunts you, though. If that's true of you, I want you to do something this Lenten season. I want you to look. Look into the eyes of the man on the cross. Eyes filled with forgiveness. Eyes filled with renewal. Eyes filled with love for you. Eyes that see you, and listen to this carefully, they see you, but they do not see your sin. I don't care what you did. God looks upon you, and he sees you. He does not see the things that you did wrong. Those things have been taken care of and settled. And you have to worry about them no more. At the foot of the cross, there's hope. Because God separates our worth as a child of God from our mistakes and our bad deeds. And I'm so thankful for that. Like a child who broke a vase that was a cherished heirloom and knew that it was worth a lot of money, because she knew its value, she began to cry when she broke it. Her mother came running and she thought, man, I'm in trouble now. She was surprised to see not anger, but relief on her mother's face. Mom said, I thought you were hurt. She gathered her up into her arms, and looking back on that day later, she said, I discovered that day that I was the family treasure. Oh, God, help us to help every child to have that same kind of a feeling. I am the family treasure. We all need to feel loved, accepted, valued. We do have a tendency to become what people tell us we will become. The wise parent or the wise friend separates our actions from our value as a person. Fortunately, that's how God values us. He separates us from our sin. during this time, during this holy season, let's be reminded of what God thinks of us. Let's remember to have that same attitude toward other people. Love God, love others as God loves you, as he loves me. God can cleanse. God can help us to start anew this Lenten season. Amen.